is phenomenal, sweetie, but...
What happens next?
It's called a cliffhanger, Mother.
Ellie, it's called a cop-out.
Oh my God, you're Ellie friggin' Conway.
Author of the Argyle series, Ellie Conway!
I am such a fan.
Oh yeah? What is it you do?
Espionage. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da!
You sound insane. You realize that?
Yeah.
The whole world gone crazy!
Are you serious?
Ladies and gentlemen!
It's showtime.
It's the official beginning of a new year here at Mad About Movies. As you know, our calendar does not coincide with the traditional calendar. Our movie calendar runs Feb 1 through Jan 31. As I think everybody should follow our guidance personally. So we are here today for the first time for a movie that is being brought to us by the current year, and boy is it truly. This is
starting off with a bang, boys.
This is a film. This is a picture, if you will. We got literally thousands of requests. Thousands. I'm still responding to all the fan requests, because I do respond.
Just got one, as you said that. Just got another one. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, dang. Okay. I do respond to all our mail, both email and snail mail, by hand. And so I'm behind on the Argyle stuff, but I'll get there. I'll get caught up. But thousands of people have demanded that we talk about the movie of the year so far. Talk about Argyle. So I'm your host, Brian Gill. I'm joined, as always, by my illustrious co-host, Tobin. No, not Tobin. Sorry, other show. My bad. Kate Garrison and Richard Bard. I got Tobin on the brain, as per usual.
All right, pervert.
what are you going to do, you know? When you find your soulmate, what are you going to do about it? We did not record last week because both of you guys, as I said in the Discord, both of you guys were visiting your respective out-of-state parole officers, and so I assume we got good reports back from them, and we're good to continue on for another quarter. That's good. That's good. Seriously, both of y'all were traveling. I've been dying. I think I turned 40, and my body was like, cool, we're done, and I've been... was under the weather. And so we were all like having this discussion, like, all right, how can we do this? And we were like, what if we just took the week off, like a normal couple of people? Like, what if we tried that once in a while? I think that's the third time, maybe fourth time in the history of the show we've not had any content for a week. So you're welcome to those of you that were just really tired of us. But we're back. We're back, and we're ready.
And we're making up for it with more episodes this week. So really, it's going to...
Yeah.
Yeah. We're still for psychos, sure. Don't worry.
For sure, yeah. We're still crazy people, but we're here. So we're going to talk about this movie. I have no idea whether this is going to be one of those weeks where we end up talking for an hour, or if it's going to be one where it's like 20 minutes. We have not talked about this movie at all off the air. I've talked about it a bunch in the Discord. I have a very good vibe for how the Discord feels about this movie, but maybe you boys will surprise me. But before we do that, before we get into Argyle, I'm going to put it off even 3 minutes further. I do want to go over our movie draft, our fall winter movie draft results.
Oh no.
So, now let me preface this. I just this last week got the official word on what movie I am going to have to review. For my punishment for losing the summer movie draft, would one of you guys like to break that to the masses here, the VIPs especially, because that may have to be a VIP only episode. That might have to be a lot of cussing. You guys, Richard, you want to break the news of what movie I'll be reviewing in a week or two?
No, I already forgot. Which one is it?
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, it's Oppenheimer. It's weird.
What was it, Kent? We decided on it together. It was,
I think it's Lady Ballers.
It was Lady Ballers. That's right. Lady Ballers.
Yeah. That's so right. Be on the lookout for that. I got to pay off I lost the summer movie draft. It's my first loss in the history of the movie draft, and I am being punished severely with this loss. So I will have that out in a week or
Explain
two.
Explain the rules again for the episode.
Sure. Sure. So every once to twice a year, and still be determined what we're going to do for 2024, but we'll talk it out and we'll figure it out soon. But the three of us do an episode where we draft the movies that are coming out over the course of a given time. So the summer movie draft was, you know, May through August. We each drafted, I think, 10 movies, and we got points based on how well those movies did, both at the box office with critics and with Letterboxd reviews as well. And I lost pretty bad in the summer. And then in the fall, winter, we did the same thing, October through December. We did a draft. We have 8 movies, because there were fewer movies available to us. We have 8 movies each, and the same thing goes. We accumulate points based on how well they do at the box office, times the Rotten Tomato score, and then times by the Letterboxd score as well. And you get your bonus points too for a movie winning the weekend box office, which sometimes can be a major factor in this thing. Wasn't a major player this time around, but sometimes can be a big deal. So, I'm going to give you the results here. I'm going to give you the results. And the big part of this is winning is nice, but the key is not to lose, because we like to make sure that we are miserable. We want to make sure the other people on the show are miserable. Winning affords you the opportunity to pick the movie that the loser has to watch and do a solo review of. So that is why I will be doing a Lady Ballers solo review in the coming couple of weeks. In the past, we've had movies such as Grown Ups 2. What else? What else have we had to do for these things?
I've done them. Have I ever done one for this? I know I've done other stuff for Corky. I did Corky Romano.
I feel like you lost the first ever. I did too. Ever, and then,
we've done a lot of punishment episodes. It's hard to, yeah, it's most hard of to them, justify what's...
Yeah, Kent's record is not great in this.
No.
And Richard, I think you lost the first one. It's a teaser for you. I don't think you've lost since. So, anyway.
I'm on a two. I think my streak's over here, but I'm on a two.
You have one more win and it's a dynasty.
One, two in a row. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So one more and it's a dynasty.
Let me give you the results.
Or mini dynasty, because I'm not from Boston.
Let me ask you guys, what do you think was the highest point total movie? What movie did the best this year for the October through December release calendar? Here?
I'm going to say the Godzilla movie.
Okay.
What about you, Richard?
Richard, you got a vote in this? You got a bet?
Hunger Games?
Okay.
That's a good guess.
Godzilla Minus One was number 9 this year. Was a nice surprise hit.
It was a bad guess.
Huge hit, though. Huge hit for what it was. I mean,
I thought because it was so highly reviewed would multiply the...
No, I don't think that's a bad guess at all.
Okay.
Hunger Games was number 2. It came in at 206 points.
See, this is why Richard keeps winning. Because he can just... he's got some kind of Edgar Cayce vibe for movie financial. You need to work for a studio and be like, it's going to make... 471 million. And it ends up making 474. You know, you just keep getting raises.
Fire him.
Yeah.
The number one movie far and away this time around was Wonka. $588 million dollars at the global box office. Rotten Tomatoes was 83%. Letterboxd was 67%, and it won 3 weeks at the box office.
So nice.
It got a nice 75-point bump. And finished at 402 points. And so Hunger Games was 205. So that was 200 points better than second place.
Maybe that kept me out of last place.
All right.
The rest of my team sucks.
I'll list off all the movies for all three of us, and then I'll give you the totals. Okay. Richard had Trolls Band Together, the aforementioned Wonka, the other aforementioned Godzilla Minus One. Going strong there. And then we got to The Exorcist, Believer, Maestro, The Killer, The Color Purple, and Next Goal Wins.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. This is Richard's
roster. Yeah, he might.
My roster, The Marvels, The Ballad of Snakes and Songbirds, Hunger Games story, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, Thanksgiving, The Boy and the Heron, The Boys in the Boat, Migration and the Bike Riders, which got bumped out of the schedule, so left a zero there.
Boys in the Boat should have.
Kent's team was Killers of the Flower Moon, Wish, Ferrari, Napoleon, surprise hit Five Nights at Freddy's, Priscilla, Dream Scenario, and the Iron Claw. Okay. These are what we're working with here. Mm. We actually, so Richard had the number one movie in the draft. I had the number two movie in the draft. Kent had the number four movie in the draft, which was Killers of the Flower Moon. So we sort of spread out the top of this thing. Unfortunately for you two, I also had the number three, the number five, the number six, and the number seven movies in this draft. So I'm back, baby. I'm back. I finished with 691 points.
Nice.
Thanks to, again, that little run
that was on
top
purpose.
There. Migration was a little sleeper pull for me, so that worked out well. Richard finished with 652 points. Kent finished with 415 points, unfortunately. All
right. Here's where I might have to file an appeal with the commissioner.
That didn't you didn't we used the rules, to... I told you the rules several times. Yeah.
This is when we'll file one for next one.
Okay, sounds good.
Didn't we used to give points for...
Uh-huh, we did.
Awards?
We did. But you were aware that we were not doing awards this time around.
I thought it was awards, too.
Okay, well, you were both aware. You guys read my email.
Well, so. What's the point of breaking it up if we don't get awards points?
The whole point of it is... It's a good question. It's a good question. The reason is because the last time we did a full movie draft for the whole year, which was 2022,
yeah,
we spent the entire year having to redo our drafts because the studios kept pushing movies out of the schedule. To the point that, like, I mean, that happened this year. I drafted The Bike Riders, and 2 days later, they were like, nope, sorry, we're getting rid of this. And it was supposed to come out like a month after we drafted. So that's the reason for changing the way we did things, because it was a whipping trying to... keep track of all the movies getting bumped out of the schedule and what that means for this game. So I am open to changing this thing up for our benefit. It is a much more difficult thing when the VIP draft to have to navigate all that. But I'm open to changing both of those things. And if VIPs, if you've got ideas of how we can do this better, not just between the three of us, but with the VIP game, because the VIP game this year was pretty good in the summer, not so great in the fall because there just weren't any movies. And so it was kind of a bummer at times. So anyway,
Richard would have won with the awards because Wonka got like 90 Oscar nominations.
Sure, but I would not have drafted several of the movies that I draft. So that's the thing. That's the balancing that you got to figure out. So the competition committee will meet and we'll discuss and we'll try to. We'll try to make it up, figure it out for next year. But as it stands, your fall-winter movie draft winner is me, and the loser is Kent. So, Kent, I will be conferring with Richard and also the VIPs and
I don't think I've ever drafted second. This is going to be tough.
I know. It's going to be weird.
I don't
it's
have
honestly a, the worst
I've,
spot.
I've drafted,
it's worst spot
I've drafted
be,
first. We're got, now worst I'm spot
to be, the best spot to be is honestly the winner's spot. Because you get the back-to-back picks on the turnaround.
Yeah. Sometimes it works in your favor to have the last pick. It just it depends on the field. I mean, really, it's this is the benefit of doing one movie draft for the whole year is you just have so many more movies to pick from. The flip side of that is we got to establish some sort of ad drop or something because it is, I don't know, maybe like an addendum.
I think if the movie doesn't, if it gets pushed, I think it's an auto zero. I think you take that risk. Well, either it's an auto zero, or I would suggest you still get the movie on the when it does come out.
We'll just on the next keep movie it draft. Rolling forever.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it goes on IR.
Yeah. Okay, we can discuss that later and figure it out. But congrats to me.
Can we get a member of the MAM fam to code up some sort of. Sort of I, app yeah, I think or something
that'd be great.
For
like,
this.
Joel that has done awesome. A lot of great work for us with the spreadsheet and putting some auto stuff into that. That's made my life easier on that front. But yeah, I would love to at some point have. There are games like this out there that we could set up a league, but they almost always are like, no, this is stupid. There's something
but you can't
dumb.
Set your own parameters for them.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You go by their parameters.
I don't know. If any of the MAM fam wants to make a little website for us with some code or whatever, that'd be awesome. I'm dumb. I'm not able to do that kind of stuff. But I can set up a game. I can't do all this kind of stuff. We'll figure it out. Kent, I will confer and I'll let you know over the next few days what what we're expecting from you. I don't know that it can be worse than Lady Ballers. This feels like cruel and unusual.
I don't know. I mean, explain the rules again, but I don't know how I'm going to be able to top my 50 Shades Freed episode because that got rave reviews.
That was the last one. I forgot about that.
I'm thinking, I already have a front runner, Brian.
Okay.
I'm thinking 13 going on 30 could be good.
Full Garner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's easy. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
What was the one where Rebel Wilson like comes, she like ages or de-ages or something?
Yeah.
But I mean, we could have just gone with a Travolta movie for Brian though.
I was surprised it wasn't Gotti, if I'm being honest.
You got to think about this. I want a creative choice for my punishment. I don't want just, off the shelf Elektra is not going to.
Maybe not gonna all the Jennifer Garner Capital One commercials, like just in the
merge together.
But you guys know what that episode's going to be. So, I mean, what's the fun in that?
Sounds like he's really scared to do
that.
I want you guys to get creative here. I just don't, I mean, I've done Minions. I mean, it's just like, fine. I'll do Minions, you know? Get creative.
We'll confer.
Surprise me.
I'm excited.
So,
all right. Thanks, VIPs, for participating in this. Don't know exactly what we're going to do for next year, for this year, but we'll figure something out. We'll figure something out and try to make it a little more, if not week to week, then frequent updates and things like that. I think that would help up the intensity.
Are we drafting again?
I don't know. I mean, we need to figure all that out, but let's figure it out off the air. We'll go from there. But generally, summer draft is like late April. Something like that, or maybe early April, something like that. So we'll figure it out. Let's get into this movie because it's
a doozy.
Certainly worth our time. This is Matthew Vaughn's ode to the spy genre, I guess. It stars Dua Lipa and only Dua Lipa. I left after 5 minutes, obviously, and I love that part. So that's good. Bryce Dallas Howard, Sam Rockwell. Henry Cavill, sort of the weird, very weird role. John Cena, I'm told. Bryan Cranston, lots of names in this thing. Big old budget on this sucker, and here we are. So I saw this at like almost 2 weeks ago at this point, and normally I would say, and it's not very fresh in my brain, but unfortunately, I don't know that I'll ever be able to forget how terrible this movie is. But I'm going to go to you first, Richard. Give me your general thoughts on Argylle.
Yeah, I love, as we've discussed on the show, the spy genre. It's definitely my favorite. You know, whether they be action-packed like Mission Impossible or you know, Bourne Identity or something, or more thoughtful like Tinker Tailor or things like that. I just kind of like the entire espionage genre, but those are very vastly different, kind of disparate things, right? From big shoot 'em ups of a Mission Impossible with the like fairly like quotidian John Le Carre's, you know, day to day boring spy stuff. But it's sometimes hard to say. It's like saying you like rock music or something. It's like I like spy movies. Then people throw like, you know, Wanted with Angelina Jolie, and you're like, no. But to call this like a spy movie, there's certainly like setting up with the construct of it being a kind of a trashy novel or something around the kind of Ian Fleming of it all with Bryce Dallas Howard's author character. Like it's okay. I'm like, okay, maybe this can go somewhere. And then it's just immediately every decision made in this is stupid and terrible. And, and assaulty, which is not a word, as someone who loves and considers themselves quite juvenile, like it's so just juvenile without any kind of whimsy or irony or anything. So it's just a big dumb movie. In a way, I like that about it because it seemed like something that would come out in like 1998 in a lot of ways. The level of lack of self-awareness level was something that you don't see in a post 2000.
It's like a Waterworld level,
Or like what was the one with
level of delusion?
Like, yeah, or like the one with like Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman,
Gattaca.
Yeah, Gattaca. There's another. I'm thinking of something else. Maybe I'm thinking of something with Antonio Banderas. But anyway,
maybe that Avengers, the Avengers movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Uma and Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah. Ralph Fiennes. That's who it is. Yep. And so It's like that kind of tone that I haven't seen in a long time. So I was almost like, oh yeah, movies used to be this bad. But it was lost pretty quickly. You know, it was like, oh no, this is terrible. But What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But yeah, those are my kind of original thoughts.
Kent, what about you?
The trailer reminded me of Johnny Depp classic Mordecai.
You brought up Mordecai. I said Dana Carvey's Master of Disguise. That's what I thought of Turtle. With this.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one to do for the movie Draft Punishment, if you guys want.
But you have to do it in a Ross Perot voice.
Can I finish?
I'll do it as all four Beatles alternating.
This is a pretty stupid movie, Kent.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminded me of Mordecai, which honestly, one of the few Johnny Depp movies without white face paint.
No, that is a misconception. True Depp heads know, Depp Nation. He's wearing regular human toned face paint over white face paint in that movie. Mm-hmm.
Right, and
right. Two 6 layers
hours of makeup. Every yeah. Day.
He had a Scarfist on set, didn't even get used. Total waste of budget.
Yeah.
Again,
he spent like $20 million on a scarf below, for no reason. So. Yeah.
Below the belt, there's some scarves.
Yes. That's what I mean. It's like a waste. You don't even see him, but he demands scarves. Demands it.
His private parts look like Steven Tyler's microphone.
That's a good one. Speaking of Dana Carvey. work that one. There's a lot of background on this one that I think we should probably touch on, Brian. What's the story here with Taylor Swift? Can you give us a little context about that?
I think that has been proven to just be internet hokum.
Yeah, but why? Why did people think that this
because
was
because there Taylor is Swift? A there there was it does have a strange development cycle. I've followed 75%, you know what I mean? Like maybe I know 75% of this, but essentially this was a script or no, this was a book that was bought to be adapted into a movie before the book had ever reached even like gallery copies or anything like that. And then I'm not even sure that that's true. I think that's like, that might've been part of like a press stunt kind of thing, but it was a book written by this person, Ellie Conway, who does not exist. And so it's a pseudonym. And so there was a lot of speculation that the book was written. First, it was that it was written by J.K. Rowling, because Matthew Vaughn and J.K. Rowling, Matthew Vaughn has been very effusive in his praise of J.K. Rowling in the past. And I think they're kind of pals or whatever. And so there originally that was the conspiracy theory. And then as apparently all conspiracy theories in 2023, 2024, eventually it became about Taylor Swift because that's a requirement in literally every facet of our life. I see that as the biggest straight male Taylor Swift fan on the planet. Probably.
I feel like I'm in a group chat with her at this point.
Right? I mean, it's like I'm open to it if she wants to hang. But my perception of it was, I don't know that there was even one thing that actually pointed to Taylor Swift being the author of this book that may or may not exist, as much as it was just the internet tries to turn literally everything into something about Taylor Swift at this point. So
I thought it was some connection with Argyle and Argyle sweaters. And isn't she big into Argyle sweaters?
Some sort of clue put out on social media. I mean, it's look again. I love Taylor Swift. It's all of this stuff is exhausting. All of it. It's it's not even her. It's just like, can everybody? As I say with everything else, whether it's
what if this was Taylor Swift, but she pays somebody to take credit for it because it flopped so bad.
Right.
It was going to be this big reveal and she was just
right,
like,
right. At the Super Bowl. Yeah. just like, you know, don't make all these things your personality. Like have more facets to your personality is all I would say. Regardless, I think that it was essentially established that this was just Jason Fuchs writing this book. And again, I'm not even totally sure. Somebody else out there wants to correct me and give me the information. That's great. I'm not even sure it's a real book. So
update for you. The book was came out actually this month. That it was written by Terry Hayes and Tammy Cohen wrote the novel. Okay. All right. Terry Hayes, might know him, Richard. This might be exactly what you're thinking of. He wrote 1999's Payback, starring Mel Gibson, and 2000's Vertical Limit.
Oh wow.
That's with Bill Paxton and Chris O'Donnell.
A filmography right there. Yeah.
And Cliffhanger. Little script work on Cliffhanger. Flight Plan. It's got it's got a very 2000s, late 90s tone, and you totally nailed that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you have any more general thoughts, Kent, or we want to move into specifics on this?
No, my only general thought is other than that is just on Matthew Vaughn in general.
I'd love to talk about Matthew Vaughn. Yeah, that'd be great.
He's
the worst.
It's disappointing where it's gone because at the early, I really like X-Men First Class. I think the first Kick-Ass movie was interesting for the time. It was kind of a Deadpool of the time kind of thing. So I appreciated that, but he got so Zack Snyder-y drunk on his own love for himself that he, let me just quote this quote from him. Actually, Apple TV, I guess they want to be in the Matthew Vaughn business because they spent $200 million on this movie. They got money to spend, granted, but they did spend $200 million on this. Some are saying could be more than $200 million. Maybe we'll find out at some point.
I mean, the marketing budget on this had to have been at least that amount of money. So, I mean,
It was intense. Yeah. It was very intense.
Yeah.
And so Matthew Vaughn was asked about that. And he said, quote, "I don't know how you spend $200 million. I honestly don't, unless you're going to make a 5-hour CG fest." Well, I got news for you, Matthew. This was essentially a 5-hour CG fest. Yeah,
about a 2.5-hour CG fest.
I mean, the amount of CG he started to rely on for these action sequences is exhausting. And the opening one with the grinding Jeep, skateboard grinding Jeep, was, I almost had to leave the theater at that point. And we were like 4 minutes into the movie. So the laws of physics don't apply in Matthew Vaughn's universe. And that's so disappointing. His movies are superhero movies without characters that you care about. It's just all the frills, the dumb CG, what he thinks are funny jokes, but are actually kind of cringy, overstuffed, over 2 hours, doesn't need to be like this. What are you doing, Matthew? Either give him a superhero franchise and X-Men, people we care about, characters we have some type of relationship with, or just stop what you're doing. I mean, he's like if Quentin Tarantino mainlined cocaine for, the last 30 years and never quit, essentially is what I feel like he's on right now. And it's a beating, Brian.
I've always felt like, and I've probably said this on the show, he seems like somebody who went to the Quentin Tarantino film school and just unfortunately lacks talent. I really like X-Men First Class. It's interesting that's really the only movie that he's made. Maybe close to the only movies, at least on a budget. Because I also actually like Layer Cake. I haven't seen that in a very long time, but I like that movie a lot.
They said that's basically what got us Craig Bond, so he gets some credit for that.
Yes, and so what's interesting about that, if you look at his filmography, for me personally, everybody has their own taste, whatever, but mine's right, obviously. But no, small budget on Layer Cake. And it's sort of contained, and it's a very Guy Ritchie kind of movie, and I think it works really well. Again, haven't seen that movie in 15 plus years, so maybe if I rewatch it now, I'm like, this is terrible. I don't know, but I enjoyed it at the time. I really like X-Men First Class. I think it's very good. That is a movie where he was having to work in somebody else's sandbox and was not just given free rein to kind of do all the Matthew Vaughn stuff that he wants to do. I hated his interpretation of Stardust. I am willing to say that, hey, Kick-Ass just wasn't for me. Retrospect, I would lean closer towards, no, actually, this is just not very good. The sequel was terrible. He wasn't the director of that. He was the producer, whatever. Kingsman movies, I do not enjoy. The second one was horrendous, and the prequel was one of the worst movies I saw in 2021, and now we're to this. I don't get it, and I think I try pretty hard in most cases in this over the almost 1,000 episodes that we've done the show to acknowledge that, like, when I don't get something, it just may be that it may just be that I don't get it, and not I'll say all day, hey, I think this is bad, or I think it's awful or whatever else, but I try to leave room for it wasn't for me or it didn't click with me or whatever else. I'm at the point now with him where I'm just like, I not only do I not get it, I think he's terrible, and I don't understand how he continues to get $200 million to make a movie. This is such a bad movie, guys. Like, this is going to be a top 10 worst movie of the decade to me. I hated this movie. It was aggressively hated this movie.
We still have Madam Web this week, so.
Yeah, I know.
This might be the month.
I'm nervous. If Madam Web is worse than this, then I don't know, guys. It might be the end of the podcast for me. It's just, this was 10 minutes in. Lindsay was like, what? She turned to me and she's like, what's happening? This is so cringy and so bad. We had people leave our theater 30 minutes in, just like, no, I'm not doing it. I wish I would have followed them. It was, concept wise, even is not a movie that I think makes sense. It to me, let me, and I'll finish and I'll hand it off because I've been ranting forever. But like, the whole concept of the movie is like Matthew Vaughn microcosm. It's so wanting to be clever that it forgets to actually be clever. It's so wanting to be funny that it forgets to be funny. Mm-hmm. It wants to have great action and forgets to have great. I mean, it's just like every part of the kind of empty vessel that I think Matthew Vaughn brings to pretty much every movie he does. I don't like it. I don't get it. And I think this movie is, I hope this is the end of it. Like, we got to stop letting him do this stuff. It's terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Richard, any thoughts on the Matthew Vaughn experience?
Well, the good news is that he's like already announced a full shared universe with this, prequels, sequels, right. Probably theme parks.
Gosh.
Maybe a cruise.
A Social Network, right. Though?
I don't know, but there will be a cologne.
Cologne. Dang it.
I do want to smell like Argyle. Yeah. So that's a bit ahead of itself. Thank God this didn't make money. Yeah, I mean, it's aggressive. You're right, Brian. I'm trying to think of a different way to say it. It's like childish in its like attempts at things, you know. It goes way beyond like homage. It goes into this weird space of, you know, it's just hard to believe that he's this dumb, because you're right, he's made some other stuff. He's obviously gotten way further in his career than I ever will in mine. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but then go. And this is, I get it if this was like your first movie and you had a cool idea for a spy movie and someone gave you $150 million and you go, but it's like, this is your 11th movie or something. Like, you can't think this was good on the page or good on set or whatever. I just, it's so joylessly silly, you know?
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. There's things that are silly that are delightful, but this is just, without any kind of joy, the effect of it certainly not helped by being 2.5 hours long, and I did not make it the full 2.5 hours, I'll admit, but sure. You come out with this sort of depression it makes you feel, which is silly. It's a dumb movie with English spy tropes or something, but it's like it truly makes you embarrassed to be a human. That's gonna be my pull quote for the poster.
Well,
I've got my pull quote.
Almost would be. It's hard to even call it cynical because it felt like such a bad gamble. Like, I don't. Yeah. If this made $600 million, I would feel like it's cynical. But there's no. I don't know how anyone.
It's one of those things everyone knew would it'd be a flop 6 months ago. The minute you see that trailer,
yes,
you go, oh, that's gonna do terribly.
It's an atrocious trailer. I don't.
But even if the trailer was good or better, rather,
right.
Right. I think I'd still be like, that's not going to be like.
Totally. But to put a bow on that, just that little part, and then I'll hand it off to you. I sorry, Ken, I didn't mean to cut you off. The when the first movies that come to mind for us are Mordecai and Masters of Disguise, number one, both those movies were pretty huge flops, if I remember correctly. But number two, both of those movies, I feel quite certain everybody involved knew they were making a very stupid movie. They were doing... they were unsuccessful in doing the send up, you know, which is in and of itself kind of a, you know, a cinema sin, I guess. But I don't think that Johnny Depp or Dana Carvey or, you know, whoever directed those movies, who I've certainly not, I'm not even going to bother to look up, but like, I don't think they thought they were making a clever movie that was going to build a franchise or build a branch of a franchise out of it. Was maybe people will think this, will enjoy this stupidity, and we can, we'll make some money off of it, and we'll make more of them down the line, almost like a Mr. Bean kind of thing. And it just, they're just turned out to be bad movie, very bad movies, in addition to being not really very funny. But they knew they weren't making art, you know. And I think that's my beef. It's every time, I always feel like Matthew Vaughn is talking down to me in the midst of some of the worst movies I've seen over the course of this podcast era. It's one thing to be condescending if you are Martin Scorsese, you know?
Yeah.
It's a totally different to be condescended to by somebody who is making, I know we're not supposed to say art is bad. This is bad art. And so I'm not just like constantly rolling my eyes and just kind of pissed off watching his movies. Cause it's like, where do you get off, dude? Like this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. So sorry. Can't, I know I cut you off 27 minutes ago, but, what do you remember what you were going to say, or do you want to move it somewhere?
Yeah. A few things.
Yeah. Go for it, man.
First off, has anybody considered that he married Claudia Schiffer in 2002 and just her success just transferred over to him somehow? That's why we haven't heard from her since then, and we've only heard from him all the time.
Yes, yes. I like
maybe,
this theory.
Maybe that.
I'm with it.
Maybe there's some kind of celebrity consciousness transfer that we need to look into. Also, how much better does this movie do if Henry Cavill has just normal hair?
It's terrible, man. It's
like
terrible.
The moment you see that in the trailer, you're like, nope.
Yep.
Everybody's like, nope. And isn't it incredible how one choice like that can just tank a movie?
It's,
like the a bad
weird.
Haircut.
It's
amazing.
It's real weird. And they were using that in the marketing. There was like, there were Argyle stand-ins like at Laker games and stuff like that with the you know, the costume.
Like, why is that the hair?
Why
did they get the hair from Jim Carrey and me and myself and Irene?
Yeah, I mean, what I was gonna say. A lot of people don't know this, Kent. This has been reported. He was doing a remake of Me, Myself, and Irene after this. And the people at Me, Myself, and Irene 2 refused to let him change the hair back for that. It was kind of a mustache situation with Batman vs. Superman. So he had to go back to it.
Okay.
And he had to keep it because they couldn't CGI the flat top out. So they just shut the whole thing with it.
They couldn't afford that. Right.
Yeah. He was like, again, I got stuck by this. But the first a mustache, now the flat top.
I know I'm ranting here, but this is a movie worth ranting about. After this, let's just take Cavill out of the running for Bond. It was just never mention him in the same sentence.
Yeah,
like, he ruined it with this movie.
He's an idiot for doing this.
Doing
just
then?
Not so much the performance, but the decision to do this when you could potentially be Bond.
Agree. Yes. Yes.
What are you doing? Like, well, Matthew Vaughn, when people see this Matthew Vaughn movie, they're going to be like, that guy needs to be. No, like we already thought that when we saw Mission Impossible. We already like just go retire until they announce Bond and then do another movie. You know, don't mess this up. Don't mess the reputation up. But
maybe
he did that.
Maybe he's stupid. He was like, it worked for Daniel Craig with Layer Cake. That got him Bond. So I'm going to call Matthew Vaughn and be like, what are you working on? Oh, boy. Do I have the movie for you?
The last
three movies of his or four movies of his filmography are Zack Snyder's Justice League, the Snyder Cut, Black Adam, The Flash, and Argyle. So my man is on a heater.
Mount Rushmore. Yeah.
At least he's made like $300 million and guarantees along the way, probably in the during.
And he's got his Warhammer action figure, so he's good. Yeah. They paid him in those.
I mean, gosh. So I mean, we get spoilery here, but there's I want to spoil this one for everybody out there.
We've been talking for an hour.
I can't talk about this without spoiling it, so we'll go there. There's a post-credit scene that ties this into Kingsman. So, which begs the question, had this been pitched and marketed as a Kingsman movie, would it have done better? Just because people seem to like those movies.
Right.
So it's another bad decision there. It's like, if this is Kingsman, just say it's Kingsman so people know like to go see it. It's like
the opposite of the 23 Jump Street
thing. What are you doing?
Yes.
And my pull quote for the movie, Brian, I'll pass it off to you, is this made me angrier at the Beatles than it did Matthew Vaughn. What are you doing?
This is a
come on.
Listen. You brought it up, so I'm just gonna say this is a very, very minor complaint in the midst of a lot of big complaints. A song that came out in like November cannot be the song that that was their song 5 years ago. That made me so angry at just the laziness of putting this thing together. Sort of like a microcosm of like, this is why this movie sucks, is because y'all couldn't be bothered to get any details right or any big nothing. You can't be bothered to get anything right. You just thought you were gonna be real cute and make your little movie and sell it as a marketing ploy. Awful. It's awful. And yeah. Paul, did you really need this money, man? Come on, dude. Like it's rough. It's rough. $200 million was spent on this thing. I have to imagine that a large chunk of that money went to the cast. It is a large cast. It's a lot of anytime you're on like Rotten Tomatoes and you're looking at the cast and you have to click show more before you get to the end of the faces and the names that you know very well. You can usually guess that you've spent quite a bit on the talent. You know, congrats to all these people for getting paid. But this was not. I think Sam Rockwell was okay ish. That was the part of the movie that I thought
I was gonna ask you what you thought was worse, this or George W. Bush.
I will say this. He at least seemed to understand the movie that he was in. Whereas most of the rest of the cast did not. I thought Sam Jackson was kind of in the same boat, where it was like, he seemed to be having fun with it, despite just like knowing that he's cashing a check and in just a garbage movie. I really like Bryce Dallas Howard quite a bit, both on screen and as a director. I think she's got something. Terrible casting. Here's the thing on that. It's not just that she's sort of playing against type. It's that, again, it's another one of those notes where you just say, y'all didn't think about how this would work. You only thought, we're going to do a twist where it turns out that she's Agent Argyle, and no one will ever have guessed it, because she can't be Argyle. Look, she's a woman, you know, and she doesn't usually play that kind of part. Everyone will be shocked by this, instead of considering like, okay, but like, does that work? Does this work within the scope of this movie? No, it really doesn't. I like Bryce, but not, she doesn't, she's not in this role. This is not the right role for her. Cavill is terrible. Cranston was terrible. I mean, it's like,
he's on a rough piece.
He is. And I've said on the show before, like, I pretty much always forgive an older actor or a career actor who gets a huge bump, like Breaking Bad was for him. I pretty much always forgive whatever you're going to do career wise from there on, because it's like, you have been cranking out roles for so long, you should just get to do whatever paycheck you want to do. Kind of feel like we're at the end of that though with Cranston.
It's been
like
10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. You've used that up, my man. Like, we gotta start having you in some good movies again, because this was pretty brutal. Catherine O'Hara, same thing. We love her. Terrible in this. Why is Ariana DeBose in this movie? Like, I don't, you won an Oscar like a year and a half ago. You don't need to do this. I don't get it. None of it. It's
Yeah, look at the stuff she's done since she won the Oscar, though. She seems to be in the mode of, hey, if the jobs are going to come, I'm going to take them.
And look, again, we always say, get paid when you can get paid. She's on screen for 3 minutes. It's tough. It's a tough
2 minutes more than Dua Lipa. Yeah. And Dua Lipa's on the poster ahead of Bryce Dallas Howard. And I know what they're doing there, but come on. That's almost offensive.
I mean, I felt like you could tell from the trailers that she wasn't going to be in the movie much. And I do understand the marketing concept on that, obviously. But like, you get your own character poster and you're in the movie for 3 minutes. I don't know, man. And also, maybe you just say, hey, we got Dua Lipa. Should we keep her in the movie at some point? Right. Like, should we figure it out? How to do that a little bit? No, we're not interested in that. We're just interested in some of the least surprising twists in the history of film. Okay, cool. Then that's what we're gonna focus on.
Can we talk about this, Brian?
Yeah,
this is important because the twist is, you know, worth stopping down for. Mm. The fact that the press release for the movie, when they announced the casting, and I quote, from The Observer.
I'm glad you pulled this.
In 2021, in July. Quote, Matthew Vaughn is set to direct a thriller about a best-selling female novelist who turns out to be a spy suffering from amnesia. Bryce Dallas Howard, Samuel L. Jackson, and Sam Rockwell are in talks to star. What are they doing?
Doesn't that just feel like, this is why the movie sucks, because y'all did that. I mean, like, all
they do
think
that's really important, but I will give them credit. It's not like they held that for the last scene and are like, by the way,
that's,
you have amnesia. Like, no,
true.
It's like the first hour they reveal it, and then the next hour is her as the spy, or that plays itself out. I do like that they didn't hold it and think like, oh, we're going to blow people's minds in the last 5 minutes, guys.
No, that's true, but it is a movie that is full of quote unquote twists that, you know, look, I'm not that smart, and I say all the time, my brain, I rarely will predict what's coming in a movie because I just don't think that way when I'm watching. I'm trying to just enjoy the movie. The twists of this movie are, it turns out that Bryan Cranston and Catherine O'Hara are not her parents and are bad guys. I think that was obvious immediately. Like, immediately we knew this is where they were
sinister, like they were Borges and Natasha. Did that give it away?
It's so Rocky and Bullwinkle. Gosh, dude. It's so Rocky and Bullwinkle. And again, Rocky and Bullwinkle is a movie that tried to be silly, tried to play into its stupidity and stuff.
Wow, great comparison.
I mean, it really is. But I had the exact same thought. I was like, God, what are we doing here? That they tried to pull that as a twist. It's you see it from a mile away. Then you have the twist of, actually, she's Argyle the whole time. Could see that 100 miles away. I mean, it was so obvious. Even if you didn't read the press release, it was so obvious that she was going to end up being Argyle. And then you get to flip later at the end of right at the end of the movie that actually Ariana DeBose's character, she's not dead. Oh my gosh, who could have seen?
Oh my gosh, Brian, the animation they showed of the bullet going through the heart but not destroying the heart made me literally burst out in laughter. I could not believe that.
it just goes to this whole concept of, we've made a very clever movie, but you forgot to do anything clever. It's embarrassing, honestly. I'm not embarrassed for the cast. Cast got paid. They're all pretty bad in the movie, but whatever. This happens. Every great actor has a bad role.
I feel like some of them thought they are in a spoof or something, the way they're acting.
Yes,
they probably went to the premiere and they're like, oh my God.
Great point.
I was doing a bit.
Yes, great point. I felt like
they
that
they
as
were
well.
In Austin,
I mean, that was
Powers,
my deal with Rockwell.
But they were actually in Mission Impossible. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. I mean, that was my feeling with Rockwell. Was like, I think he kind of knows what movie this is, or excuse me, rephrase that. I think he kind of knows what kind of movie this should be, given what the script is and all these things. But that doesn't play. You can always forget, to me at least, it's like, whatever, actors are actors, you're gonna have some bad performances here and there, we can forgive them. They're all terrible in this. They're all gonna be finding some Razzie nominations, I think, towards the end of the year. This is an abominable script and direction choices being made here. To think that you are making this great picture, I don't understand, man. I'm kind of flabbergasted. Even by the standards of Hollywood, where we see stupid decisions get made frequently, I would have liked to have been in the boardroom on the Monday after this thing came out. Just be like,
all right, yeah.
What were y'all thinking? What were we doing here?
Well, I really think was gonna happen? The scripts are just a means to an end for Matthew Vaughn to get to do these crazy action sequences.
And they were
bad. So long. They're like 2 minutes or 3 minutes too long all the time. And they are stuffed with CG and he and violence. I mean, stupid violence for the sake of violence. And I don't know what I hated more. The opening of The Flash last year with the babies falling out of the hospital or the scene in this movie where they're dancing in like the smoke room. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
Where they're fighting and dancing at the same time with the CG smoke going around. What is going on?
Yes. That is a scene where I went from, this is a very bad movie to this is going to be like worst of the decade movie. That scene, you should go to jail for making that scene. Like that's how bad
it was. Now you see me throwing the cart around the room level, bad.
Yeah. Yeah, except even worse, man. It's really a horrific. So I'm glad you brought that up, King, because that's the deal. It's like, I think you're totally right. I think the script for Matthew Vaughn is just the medium through which he gets to do his big action sequences. Has he had a good action sequence since Kingsman, maybe? I mean, they're not good anymore. They're not good because, as we kind of talk about at the top, he's drinking his own Kool-Aid. He's very sure of himself at this point. These were awful action sequences throughout the course of this. The CG was terrible. The freaking CG on the cat was embarrassing. And
they had to spend money on an animatronic cat so that she could run around with a backpack with a cat in it for half the movie?
There's so many decisions made here, and I'm at a loss. This feels like a movie that should. I've been reading several, like I've been making a point this year of like I'm gonna read a bunch of movie related books. I recommended The Devil's Candy at the beginning of the year, which is all about Bonfires of the Vanities and the disaster that was that movie.
Have you done Path to Paradise yet?
Say that again, sorry.
Are you going to do Path to Paradise?
What movie is that? I can't remember.
That's Apocalypse Now.
Definitely.
It's the same guy that did the Chinatown one, Sam Watson. Okay. I haven't started it yet, but I'm about to start it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm reading the Chinatown book right now. This feels like a kind of movie that would have an entire book written about it because of how atrocious every piece. I hope that it continues. I mean, look, it's at $60-ish million worldwide right now on a $200 million budget. And we said, I would guess $200 to $300 million on the marketing because it has been aggressively pushed for the last like 6 months almost. I hope that it continues to be so bad that and do so poorly that it ends up getting like the book treatment, because that's how bad the movie is to me. And every decision made along the way falls into that path. Gosh, I don't know. Any other notes on what makes this such a daggum dumpster fire, guys?
Either side. I have no more notes, man. I am okay. I'm done with this one. I'm sure we'll come up at the end of the year, Brian, if you're accurate in your prediction.
Oh, man. And we got to watch Madam Web this weekend.
I'm excited.
At least it's not a good movie, because then we might get the bends. At least we could just continue to live.
Yeah, if Dune was coming out this weekend, I'd be worried about our brains exploding in the theater. That's how bad. Like, it takes a lot, too, for my wife to be like, she was pissed. She was just like, what is happening? This is so bad. She's usually pretty like, that was fine, whatever. So, you know, great job, Matthew Vaughn. Great job to everybody involved here. I guess we can grade this thing and move on with our lives. You may be able to guess my grade, but I'll start with you, Richard. How far did you make it in this thing too, man?
Longer than I should have. probably about 2 hours. Yeah, I think around 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. longer than I should have. I kept thinking there'd be like another reveal or something, and then I was like, mm-hmm. I don't care. And I was hungry.
Yeah.
So I left.
It's good. Remember when Rob Delaney was in this for 35 seconds?
Yeah.
Nope. That was weird.
Don't remember.
another little add to the collection of twists was the cat scratching out Bryan Cranston's eyes. It's like we've telegraphed this from miles and miles away that eventually the cat is going to be involved in the action on it. It's just rough. Okay. Sorry. Richard, grade for this.
F-.
Okay. Kent.
Yeah. First of 2024, F-. And we're starting off.
2024 sucks.
Did you see that tweet that compared all the events of 2019 to 2023?
I did.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
And how the COVID happened right after. It was kind of eerie. It's wild.
It's tough. We may be.
Might be in for one here in the next few months, boys.
If you're an ex-NBA player, no helicopters.
Yeah.
That's right. Steer clear, guys. Okay. F-- for me. I did not give out I don't even think I gave out an F on any movie episode we did. Like, there were movies that were Fs for me, but they were movies we did not do an episode on last year.
It's good to be
back. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure I did not. So we're starting off well, and then we're rolling right on into Madam Web. But, yeah. Okay. Well, don't see Argyle. Let's all read the book on it in 3 years instead, not the Argyle book. God, when Cavill shows up at the end at the last book reading, I just wanted to die. It was so bad. This movie was terrible. Terrible. Stop letting Matthew Vaughn make movies. That's my pull quote.
Maybe the next one will be good. Next one will be the one. Yeah. Argyle,
it
the prequel.
Didn't work for them, but it might work for us. let's move on. Let's talk about good things. Let's do a quick weekly recommend.
Weekly recommends.
Kent, I'm gonna go to you first, buddy. What do you got for weekly recommends?
Yeah, the recommends are stacking up on us here, yeah, fellas, yeah. Because you know, it's been a while, but I'll recommend a TV show that is now wrapped up, so it is bingeable. I know people prefer to do it that way sometimes. I'll recommend The Curse. Nice. From Benny, Safdie, and Nathan. I think it's worth watching. Stick with it until the end, because the last episode is truly wild. And I think I would recommend just the last episode if I could, but you do need to watch the whole series to get there. But yeah, it definitely has a finale that you will be thinking about. And I think it's worth watching for Emma Stone. She's phenomenal in this. I'm sure she'll get some type of recognition for it. And Benny Safdie, like, is a legitimately great actor, I think. And so watch out for him and his acting roles here over the next few years. I know he was just in Oppenheimer and Star Wars and has, you know, a lot of accolades already. But watch out for him as an actor and not just a director. I know he's directing that movie, I think, with The Rock, isn't he? Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
The A24 movie with The Rock. Mm-hmm. The Rock's the whale, you know, we'll see that. So I will recommend The Curse on Showtime, 10 episodes, and stick with it till the end. I promise it's worth it.
No one knows how to get Showtime, but you can somehow you can Google around and
maybe you can add it to your Paramount Plus.
There you go. Richard, what's your weekly recommend?
My league recommend is a book. It's going to be a movie this year, I think. I think they just finished filming it. It's a little book. It's nothing crazy, but it's by Claire Keegan, Small Things Like These. Have I talked about this?
I don't think so.
It's a little like 100-page or so Irish novel that came out last year. It won a bunch of awards. I think it was nominated for the Booker Prize. I don't know if it won. But anyway. Cillian Murphy's doing it. It's his next movie post Oppenheimer. And it's just a cool little brisk, great little reveal in it. Slice of life story, that I think you can literally read in one, maybe two sittings. It's just a bit longer than a short story, but yeah, But I think people like it, and it's, I think, will be definitely, given the people making it, I'm trying to remember who the director is on it, on the adaptation. There it is. It is, well, I actually don't know the director, but anyway, it's Emily Watson and Cillian Murphy this year.
Nice.
It actually premieres in 2 days at the Berlin Film Festival, so it'll be interesting what that one is. But yeah, if you want to be there for that,
I forgot.
Matt Damon is producing the movie as well. So I knew there was another big name. So yeah, if you're interested in like maybe reading a quick thing that might be a player later in the year, it's worth an hour of your time.
Nice, very nice. I'll have to add that to the to read list. I'm going to recommend a show that just had its third season drop towards the end of 2023, and its fourth season will come out at the end of this year. It's on the old Lasso Plus, and that is Slow Horses, the Gary Oldman spy show. So much better than Argyle. It's just crazy. It shouldn't even be able to share the same general genre. Richard's seen some of this. I don't know if you have, Kent. Have you watched any of Slow Horses?
I have not, but I've had multiple people. I think over the holidays, every family member recommended it, either that or Suits. That's all anyone was watching. So
yeah. Suits LA is coming, man. Gonna make billions, maybe. Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, Slow Horses is like closer to like a Le Carre kind of spy thing than anything else. It has more humor than Le Carre stuff did, but it leans into that. It is very British. It's one they almost like sometimes I need to turn on the subtitles to totally catch what they're saying. There's just a whole lot of like slang and terminology that I'm like, I don't totally know what that means. I'm going to try to piece this together with context. Third season came out. They're six episode seasons, which is great. It rolls through very quickly, and each season is its own sort of self-contained story. So you've got like an overarching plot between the three seasons and the fourth season coming this year, but for the six episodes, you're dealing with one different story every time. And I saw that like Graham Yost is involved in this thing. And he was one of the guys who was part of the Justified team. And there's some similarities between Justified and Slow Horses too. And I think that plays out too. Kind of similar structure season to season. But it's really good. Really enjoying it on Lasso Plus. So check that out.
Nice.
All right. This has been fun.
Lasso Plus. Our listeners are just Googling, what is Lasso Plus? I do not can't find this show.
Yeah. If you're new to the show, that's Apple Plus. But we call it Lasso Plus for obvious reasons. I think that's for obvious reasons on that. But check that out. It's really good. If you like spy stuff, it's an easy sell. It's one that I was like, I've been putting off. I love spy stuff that isn't Argyle. And I was like, man, I kind of wish I hadn't put this off, but it has been fun to sort of binge it over the last couple of weeks. So it's good stuff. Check that out. All right. We'll be back. We'll be back next week here on this feed talking Madam Web. If you like the movie, the web episodes where we're talking about bad movies and potentially being angry about them. I feel pretty confident saying that's going to be next week too. So come check that out. I guess it'll be a good time. Or it won't be a good time. I don't know. But we're going to be talking about Madam Web next week. The VIP this week, we have two episodes. This is Rom-Com Month in our VIP feed. We will be talking about 10 Things I Hate About You and one of the superior rom-coms of all time, Notting Hill. Rounding out our Hugh Grant filmography, because we've talked a lot of Hugh Grant lately, and I'm here for it. It's been a good time. Go to madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP to sign up for that VIP feed. For $5 a month, you get an additional episode every week where we do a throwback or a retrospective of something from the past. You get access to our exclusive Discord where you can talk with movie fans from all around the world all day long. There's a whole lot of other perks that come along with that. And our back catalog is just literally hundreds of episodes at this point that are only available to the VIP. So get in on that. Again, madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP. Love to talk to you there in the Discord. Back next week. Stay safe. We'll see you at the cinema.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me ya-ya. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
They're calling again.